Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Hey, man. This past Sunday was Mother's Day.
Yes, it was.
So, you know, happy Mother's Day to all the moms that listen to
the
show.
Yeah, all the moms out there. We love.
Yeah, so me and the fam.
Yes.
Which is, you know, my family, of course, and then my dad and my grandma.
Uh-huh.
We went to pay our respects, which my grandma is 93 years old. My great-grandma passed away in 03.
Yeah.
My grandma been going to her grave every year on Mother's Day.
Since then?
Since 2003.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
We go there, and the kids, are, you know, they just...
Running around a graveyard?
Yeah, jumping all on the people's tombstone. They don't know. They don't know any better, but it's crazy, right? So we get there, and, you know, we, you know, talking and stuff like that, and then... My grandma and my dad goes, it ain't nothing under there.
Oh, this again.
I perked up. I wanted to squeeze my 93-year-old grandmother so hard.
But, okay.
So no, hard. You,
is there more? Because I have a what if.
Okay.
No, you go ahead and finish. I'm going to put a pin in it.
Okay. And I go, I've been saying that for years. It ain't nothing.
But do you think that, is it possible that she meant just, you know, the body has gone back to the earth? She was saying there never was anything down there.
She said when they, the reason why they.
You're all crazy.
That's the reason why they wait until you leave before they do.
Leave for the night, like after the funeral service.
After when you get to the burial.
I've seen people get cranked down into the ground while people are still there. I've never seen them throw the dirt on them while everybody's still there. But I've seen them be cranked, but you can crank them back up.
Yeah. But she goes, that's why they wait till you leave, because it's just not enough space. It's maybe like a step or two between where the headstone is, between another headstone.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And all of these headstones are... Which I noticed that they didn't notice because they've been there. I don't know how they noticed, but it's in numerical, was it numerical order?
By number. Then that's numerical.
03, yes. 03, uh-huh. 04, whatever. It goes, ain't nothing.
But the size of the headstone isn't.
But there maybe.
Doesn't equate the size of the plot that. And the.
But there's like a step or two between
the one headstone. Well, you could be stepping on two graves at one time. That doesn't mean.
But then it's like. But, so you telling me they're putting headstones in the wrong place?
No, I'm saying that if you get a small headstone, they might conserve space by putting them closer together. If you get a big gravestone or you get a mausoleum,
now
you pay more, you get more real estate.
Right. Now at the graveyard.
But if you get the little, you know, the little
right,
placard on the ground.
Yeah. But at the graveyard we was at, it's so old. I mean, people have full-on statues.
Uh-huh.
As tombs, it's insane.
You don't see two statues next to each other that close, right?
But they are though. And so many. They're like 20 feet tall, bro, 15 feet tall. And it's insane. But listen, there was a family of like three, four, right? Next to some steps.
Okay.
And we go, there's no way.
How much did y'all guys just stop paying your respects and now you guys are just working out your theory in the grave? Let's explore the graveyard.
Where we parked at is steps where, because I have a 93 year old.
Yeah, park.
We gotta park right by the steps. And where we parked the headstones are right there. I mean, it's not even headstones. They're like blocks. There's like cement blocks.
Yeah.
And they're like leaning over. It's a hill. And he was like, there's no way.
Oh, they're on the hill.
They're on the hill.
Like they're going up the hill.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's like, there's nothing. And it's like they take them bodies and they just do something with them and they just cover it, put the headstone there. I was like, you know, this is why we are
family. This is why we are family. The family that conspiracy theories together stays together.
Yeah, man.
I don't know what you want me to do with this information, man. Your whole family's everybody's insane. It just is like, you know something? No. It just comes up naturally.
Don't believe it.
Yeah. Oh. You know something? Nobody's down there.
I don't know what my great grandma is, but she's not. She's not under that.
And you know something? You'll be back next year. Saying hi to nothing.
Yeah, obvious. We got a problem here. And it's more than just Alvin streaming Punisher. When life begins to suck, who's reporting it? Luckily, got two friends who you won't forget. Coming live, Alvin and friend on survival. Laughing nonstop, case drops on a cycle. Louder than intrusive thoughts off an iPhone. How they make the world seem bright with the lights off? AFs, it might as well stay up. Lies being told like that dinosaur BS. Magnifying glass to the ground if they don't see us. Having the time, roasting your favorite pizza. Bougie ain't an option, it's the way. Take it to the grave, add moving to the place. You already know when they take the case. Laugh the pain away, it's affirmative murder.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder, the Equal Opportunity True Crime Comedy Podcast. I'm Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah man, I'm the mailman, can't you tell man? Gonna post it.
We back.
What we up? Are back. Fran, hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the people that listen to the, you know, Moms.
Yeah, podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Had a beloved one.
I'm good, though. The weather's getting nice. Little bit toasty, but you know, it's good. I'm living. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. You know, it's best time in basketball right now. It's playoffs.
It is, yes.
You know, we gave praise to LeBron James a couple weeks back. Nobody thought he could do it. Everybody wrote him off. Teams, you know. And he recently knocked out a team of a young Bulls. You know, good ball club. Going through some drama last year. But the drama's resurfaced. And I wanted to talk about that because I think there's a bigger conversation there to be had.
Yeah.
There's a basketball player named John Morant. Very talented basketball player. Truly gifted athlete. And just got, you know, extension on his contract with his team. Replaced Kyrie Irving, who had some controversy around COVID and some links that he was sharing on Twitter that were anti-Semitic in nature and things like that. And so Nike dropped Kyrie Irving and replaced him with this young man, John Morant, who's 23 years old.
Yeah.
John Morant got in trouble with some guns a couple months ago. He was in a strip club waving a gun around. And I'm going to make my stance clear before we continue that, well, not to make my stance clear because it doesn't have anything to do with stance. It's business. You are allowed to have a gun.
Yes.
Your Second Amendment rights are always protected.
Nobody's disputing that.
Yet. Nobody's dispute. That's not. So anybody who is still caping for this guy when we get to the fact that he has been gotten in trouble again or, you know, whatever you want to call it, trouble. He's got in trouble with the league. He's not in trouble in any kind of legal trouble.
Right. Yeah.
But you have a right to carry a gun. Brandishing a gun and showing off a gun to music and the way that he is glorifying guns can look bad when you have a $200 million contract and you're in the company that paid you that money doesn't want to be seen in that light.
Exactly.
That is the only argument here. There's no argument to be had that, you know, John Morant can have a gun. Sure. John Morant can have a gun. John Morant shouldn't. There's a difference between can't and shouldn't. John Morant shouldn't be waving the gun around while he's listening to rap music in the car with his friends after an incident where they thought he might have brought the gun onto a company property.
Yeah.
The first time, see, that's the thing that people are, now it's not just that it's happened again, because this new one that happened this past week, he was in the car with his friends.
Yeah.
But the first time he got in trouble, they thought that he might have been on company property with the gun.
Yeah.
And going into strip clubs, and was the gun leaked? There was a whole mess behind the first one. So you kind of want to keep your name clean.
Yeah.
In general, for the sake of sponsorships and all of the things. I mean, listen, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But if you want the money to keep rolling in, you should be smarter than that. Fran, your thoughts?
So my thought is, now, I mean, you can argue, this is where my head went. I went immediately to, you know, you may disagree, you may not disagree, but like, we can all be influenced by music.
For sure.
Be influenced by, you know, whatever we watch, whatever entertains
us, whatever. I keep coming around as we get this new generation.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it about us, and maybe that was naive, but this new generation with music and everybody wants to be seen on social media, I'm starting to think that we were wrong, and I was wrong. I don't know if you always thought, but music and it influences people, and this is a case of that.
Yes, you know, when you say about us, I go, you know, man, you know, but like this new generation, I go, big time, 100%. Like, these kids are being influenced by music because that's all you hear.
And the TikToks
or whatever, but
the loop of the most violent part of the song, 15 seconds, just over and over and over again.
Exactly. But what I won't do for Jeremy, I'm not going to attack his character by saying he has identity issues. I'm not going to go that far.
Okay.
I mean, you can argue that, but I just what I will say is that, you know, he's, I guess it's the same thing saying he's struggling with, you know, wanting to be something he's not. I guess that's the same thing.
Yeah, that's why I was going to push back, because what I was going to say is, I don't know anything about Ja Morant's life.
Right.
What I do know is,
but the thing is, I don't know how he grew up. I just don't know.
But my point is, it just, at this point, it shouldn't matter. Okay. Right. Okay. I understand. Here's the thing. I love Cardi B. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool that Cardi B still kind of feel like I'm from the Bronx and whatever. But you can't be worth $100 million and still be like on the block. And here's my thing about Ja Morant. And I hope people, I want to broaden it, because I don't want this to be like it's a sports conversation. We've had conversations before about survivor's remorse and things like that, where, you know, me and you, we're not doing super great by any means, but like, we know people that are doing a lot worse than us and people that we grew up with that are doing a lot worse than us. And sometimes I feel like that makes you go, well, what did I do different to not end up in prison, or did I turn left when I could have gone right? I've been in cars with people who dropped me off and then later on went and did something dumb or whatever. And so sometimes it can mess with your mind. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's fully what's happening with Ja Morant, but when you dedicate your life to something and you get a contract for $200 million and you have sponsorships and you've been put in this position to change people's lives, you got to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
The thing about the video that if people don't know, just you can look up Ja Morant and get the whole thing. The thing about the video that made me the most angry, because it did make me angry, because this is a guy who's been given an opportunity that we just talked about this like last week about college athletes and, you know, the recruiters coming into their homes and being like, oh, we're going to look after them. But like, there's another kid out there.
Yeah.
So Ja Morant's great. And Ja Morant has an opportunity. Ja Morant is not special. There's another guy that they could find who could do almost what he could do. And doesn't do the bad stuff that he's been getting in trouble for. Exactly. And then he'll be forgotten about. The league can push this guy out of the league with ease.
Yeah.
1 or 2 years of, you know, not seeing him, and all the kids will move on to the next Ja Morant.
Yeah.
And I think he thinks he's Michael Jordan or something, to where, because to have gotten in trouble like you did, and then he sat down, he did the, you know, I'm changed interview, and you know, I would never happen again. And then to do this where somebody else is having a phone.
Yeah.
You see that the phone is out. You acknowledge that the phone is out. You go, oh, are we on Instagram Live?
Yeah.
Bet. And then you pull your gun out and wave it around. And then your friend has to protect you from yourself and pull the phone away. So that tells me you're in this position. And then I've heard stories that I had never heard before. Now the second one is coming about him going to Finish Line when his mom calls up there. This dude, and I don't want to blame Memphis, but Memphis is a tough city. And I don't know if he's getting caught up, and that's why I say the identity issues thing. Mm-hmm. You got all this money. You are, you know, the grittiness of Memphis and the team. We want all the smoke and all this. And I don't know if it's gone to his head where he goes, I want to also be known around town. To where they're saying he's showing up to places, 5, 6, 7 dudes, and is intimidating people. He punched the kid in the mouth at his house when they were playing basketball. I think this dude wants to be tough. And the part that scares me about him is, like, we've never heard stories about like this in the NBA, where he has the money to fund illegal activities. And I'm not accusing him of anything, but the way he's moving, I wouldn't be surprised if we could end up hearing news that Ja Morant's caught up in a RICO charge, where he gave a kid $10,000 and the kid took the $10,000, bought some drugs, bought a gun, bought this, then took the gun and shot. That's a RICO case, man.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't go that far. But I do get where you're coming from.
He's moving not with security. He's moving with goons. That's my issue. Like, if you want to move around and be protected or whatever, cool. But he's moving around like Suge Knight.
Yeah.
But where it's like he's using it as force.
Yeah. Also, I do, you know, like you said, broaden this conversation a little bit. This is not just, we talking about John Morant because he's a big name. He's an NBA.
Yeah.
But this is happening all over the inner cities. People listen to music.
Yeah.
And are trying to
live up to something.
Live up to what they listen to and whoever they're influenced by, these rappers or whatever. But I think for him, I think his whatever his circle, I don't know if these guys, he grew up with these guys. Mm-hmm. He just met these guys because he's John Morant.
Money brings all kind of people.
I don't know who he's hanging with, but whoever, he got to change up his circle.
They don't have his best interest at heart.
Absolutely not.
There's no way in hell that one, John Morant should even feel like he needs to have a gun. That's the part where the music influence comes to me where I go, that's crazy. Because you have enough money to have a guy that stands next to you that will lay anybody down.
Yeah.
He wants to have the gun.
Yeah.
He wants to have the chain.
Yeah.
He wants to have the grill.
He wants to run with people that's, you know,
he wants to have a look.
Yeah.
He wants to look tough and intimidating and like he's about that life.
Yeah.
And I think that's so disrespectful. Cause nobody that lives that life, bro, I'm not gonna sit up here and act like I know all kind of goonish people, but nobody that actually lives that life, you talk to him. Nobody wants to live that life. Nobody wants to like sleep with a gun under their pillow and is concerned about being out with their kids because they have real beef and stuff. John Morant is worth $200 million and he's playing around with his life, and that's disrespectful to people who are living a gang life because that's just the life. That's all they know. They're not doing it.
It's not for fun.
It's not Malibu's Most Wanted.
It's not recreation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And try on the costume of a gangster. Right. And I'm not saying he can't be a kid that grew up in the city, the inner city, and had a rough life and everything like that. But when you get $200 million, you're supposed to change things. You're supposed to help the community you come from. Too. And I've heard stories of people who are like, yeah, man, he's throwing up gang signs on the court, and he's not from here, and we never seen him at the turkey drives.
Yeah.
So you're not giving back to these communities that you're taking the swag from. You're only taking all the stuff that you think looks cool and not giving. So you're not even giving back.
Yeah, but the people you hang with, he's worth that much money. The people around you hang with you because you can fund certain activities.
That's what I'm saying.
Buy stuff
about
for them.
I get that. Potential RICO. I'm not saying John Morant's doing anything illegal. I'm telling you the parameters of a RICO charge.
I get that. But I want you to, like, anybody, imagine you being under spotlight.
That's a good way to broaden it.
For, you know, since you were a teenager. And then now you, like,
taking care of your parents.
But I'm talking about, like, you getting all this praise and people talking about you on social media. You this, you that. And you think, you kind of walk around like, oh, I'm that guy. I can pretty much do whatever I want.
I don't blame him for being arrogant. I blame him for the way he's choosing to costume his arrogance. You could be arrogant and be like, hey, man, don't talk to me. I don't take pictures, whatever.
But that's not what he's doing, though. So what? He's going to the mall and intimidating people because I'm John Morant.
Yeah.
So I can do that. And I'm walking
around. You're going to disrespect my mom at the finish? That's the arrogance.
Yes.
But it's the fact that he's taking that arrogance and being like, let me call 8 goons and pull up at the... Like I'm a crime boss.
Yeah.
He's moving around Memphis like a crime boss. And the thing... And I got away from my point. My point is, rapper, Young Dolph.
Yeah.
Big in Memphis.
Yeah.
He was killed in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a dude who's 23 years old. A basketball player, a talented basketball player. That's how he made his money. He's not made his money doing anything illegal.
He won't try you.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And how tragic would it be to hear a story about this dude being killed because somebody wanted to see, oh, you always got that fire, huh? You always got that gun. Let me see.
Yeah, they're going to try you.
And to try a dude who's 23 years old worth hundreds of millions of dollars from playing basketball for you to get gunned down outside of a Waffle House or something because you want to play this role would be the most tragic story in sports. I couldn't think of a more it would like really coincide with gang violence and inner city shootings. His youth and his age and these kids are all pilled out, and it would all kind of coincide with this 23-year-old dude, you know, putting on the costume that he puts on and being killed because he begged somebody to test if he was really like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think he is.
Yeah. I don't think he is, but you're not going to hide behind his NBA shield. That's going to things, but no, they're going.
No, they don't want you hiding behind the NBA shield.
You in Memphis, they're going to try you. Walk around like that, they're going, okay, we're going to see what you're about.
No, exactly. We're not giving you bulletproof. All that stuff's coming out of your pocket, and I don't think he's moving like that because I think he's like, I'm Ja Morant, and this is Memphis, and they love me.
Yeah.
But Young Dolph was from Memphis and was really in the street. and had a lot of love in that city and was putting on for that city, was from Memphis, not playing for a team. I'm not saying that. I'm sure they love him in Memphis.
Nipsey Hussle was the same way.
Nipsey Hussle was the same way. John Morant's not from Memphis. He plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. That doesn't give you a universal pass to just be going around the city acting crazy, punching. What if that kid that he punched in the mouth, who knows who his brother is?
Yeah.
You know, so it just is crazy to me that he's walking around that way. And if he was to be killed because somebody wanted to try and see if he's really like that, that would be absolutely tragic.
Yeah.
So I want John Morant to think about two words. I'm sorry, three words. Null and void. Because I'm sure there's all kind of, when you give somebody $200 million, there's a clause in there somewhere that says, there's ways we can take this back. I know they say NBA money's fully guaranteed. There's something in there that can say, we could suspend you without pay indefinitely.
Yeah.
We could suspend you without pay indefinitely. Something is in there.
Yeah.
And there's no way his agents, unless he's got the best agents in the business, were like, oh, we're going to make sure we put in there, like, if he does have guns, you can't get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Nobody could have seen this being a way somebody got in trouble. You know, so I just want people to think about the responsibility of success.
Yeah.
It's a burden.
Yeah.
You know, like I couldn't imagine all of a sudden my parents, everybody in my family, I'm now the boss. I'm the CEO of my family.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to go to college, all those things, those phone calls come to me. And to be 23 years old and that be your responsibility, that's heavy. But to hide, not saying he's hiding from him. I'm sure he's taking care of his responsibilities. You know, you look at his dad, I'm sure his dad looks like he's enjoying his son's responsibilities very much.
For sure.
You know, I just think that, you know, it gets hard to be in that position and people are scared to, you know, be what you need. And I hope somebody steps up and is what that kid needs. He needs somebody to be real with him and tell him like it is, that he's being really dumb and potentially blowing an opportunity. There are people who think, I'm not really tapped into John Morant like that.
Yeah.
But there are people who think John Morant has the potential to be a billionaire. He's young. He's one of the young faces of the NBA. He's already got a $200 million contract. He plays that out with endorsements and stuff. And to have that potential and blow it this way, because you're not going to be a billionaire without sponsorships. You can make a lot of money playing in the NBA, but if nobody wants to touch you, first of all, if nobody wants to touch you, all that stuff goes away slowly. Yeah. You're no longer the face of the NBA if you can't be in commercials.
Yeah, because Nike, I mean, they didn't hesitate to drop Kyrie.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So for lack of a better term, I think he needs to learn that he's not bulletproof in any sense of the word. That money can go away.
I mean, literally.
The love can go away.
Not bulletproof.
Huh?
I said literally and figuratively.
Yes, both. Yeah, in no way are you bulletproof. I don't care how high he can jump, any of those things. He's not bulletproof. Yeah. And I just hope that he gets that lesson before it's too late. And I also hope it's not too late because I don't want to see anybody ruin the opportunity to take care of their family for generations.
It's just that what pissed me off about him is like, you're talented. You're like one of the, you know, future stars in the NBA.
Yeah.
But it's like, you just got caught 5 months ago.
It's just
probably less than that.
Yeah.
And
you said it was over.
And you go, I apologize, I'm going to get work. And then you do it again. It's like, come on, man.
So you just said that was all bullshit.
All bullshit.
It was cap.
Yes.
As you know, as John Morant would say.
Yeah.
It was all cap.
Yeah.
You lied to the world. You sat down. You made Jalen Rose look stupid. You sat down with him. He's like, so have you changed? Yeah, I'm going to rehab. And I'm rehab for what, man?
Yeah.
You like waving a gun around while
the music is on. What rehab are you going to do for that?
That's no music. Like, what kind of rehab is dickhead while the music is on rehab? That's he needs to go to dickhead while the music is on rehab. That's crazy. Like, I mean, the way he looked at the camera, then pulled the gun out.
Yeah,
was like, oh, am I on?
Yeah.
Oh, let's do it. Out. They're calling this man Ja Wick.
Ja Wick, you pointed to your head. What if you did pull that trigger by mistake?
We didn't even get into that. Gun safety. And I'm not judging him because I hear he's a smart dude, really talented basketball, like savant, can break down film. But nothing about him screams a gun safety specialist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But he's 23 and his parents, his dad
needs
something.
And his dad is, and it, I hope I'm wrong, but it to me, it seems like he's terrified. I don't think he's his dad. I don't think he feels like his place isn't solidified.
Yeah.
But you also, when your son's buying you chains and mansions and stuff, you don't want to go back to being. Exactly.
Yeah. I get
Keep him happy.
I get that.
Tell him the nice things.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah, yes, man.
Yes, man.
Yep.
And he doesn't need a yes, man. No. He needs a dad. He needs a dad to like really sit him down and look him in his eyes and be like, hey, man, you are gonna ruin your fucking life.
I don't know. I'm not. I don't know anything about his dad.
Yeah.
But from what I can, what I would see on TV,
loving it.
Man, it's partying.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, loving it. This was my ticket.
Yeah.
And it, I cashed it.
That's how it looks, and it's sad that it looks that way. I hope that it. I've also let me give him his praise. I've also seen videos of T. Morant, his dad, talking about how he trained him and, you know, had him working out and stuff to get him prepared for this opportunity to get to the NBA.
Yeah.
So it's not like T. Morant just showed up when the money came in. T. Morant's been there. He's a good dad. He's a dad who got his son to the NBA.
Yeah.
His son didn't get to the NBA without his help, and that is clear. But when that check is signed and handed over, how you act then when your son...
It's like he's enjoying it too much. I get it.
Enjoying it too much.
But it's like he's...
It's like he's like, I'm also John Moran. I'm an extension of it. Yeah. I want to be courtside with sunglasses on. I'm a celebrity too.
Yeah.
And it can't be that way.
No.
Because your son has $200 million and is 23 years old. And now this is the second time he's done something really stupid that could ruin all the opportunities that you worked so hard for. This is when you're supposed to be a dad.
Yep.
And instead, he's being T, his friend.
Yeah.
My friend T. So it's just something to think about, man. And, you know, I hope we broadened it a little bit just to think about like the responsibility of success and how, you know, you cannot be in a position to do great things and not think that you need to move differently.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they say money changes people. It's like, yeah, it should, man. I'm not saying it should change you.
$200 million change anybody.
$200 million should.
Yes.
Should. Sure. But sometimes they say it makes you a worse version of yourself too. It can do that. And if John Morant was a clown who liked being around tough dudes, $200 million will make you a real big clown who can be around tougher dudes. And when you hang around tough people, sometimes you get in tough situations. And I don't want to hear a story about this dude being killed because he wanted to be tough and cool. Because he thinks being tough is cool. That's what it is.
It's a lot of ways.
And that's the music.
Yeah, it's a lot of ways this can go. We just don't want it to go.
Not that way. Last way I want it to go is that this dude thinks I have a gun on me and somebody disrespected me. I'm John Morant. I got to pull it out on him and show him that I'm not to be played with. Because that's how he moves around.
For sure, yeah, man.
I didn't know it about the finish line story. So the idea that his mom, first of all, for your mom to call you when you're worth $200 million, to tell you to come to a mall full of security cameras and press a dude in a referee shirt who's selling Nikes it tells me all I need to know about his parents. I'm not judging his family, but that tells me a lot about his family's priorities.
Yeah.
That she felt like, well, if you're, whatever argument happened, your son's worth $200 million. Laugh at him. Be a horrible person to go, you know what? You work at Finish Line. My son is Ja Morant. I'm out of here. I don't need these shoes. The idea that she went, what'd you say? Shut up. My son is Ja Morant. And he's going to come down here and teach you a lesson. Let me call him right now. Is some of the most irresponsible parenting I've ever heard of. On top of his dad being on the court side and like yelling at people about how good his son is and stuff. You know, like you don't. So it's just something to think about, man. You got a responsibility, and if you don't take that responsibility lightly, or if you do take that responsibility lightly, you can lose a lot.
Yeah.
And that's to anybody.
Yeah. Also, this music is influencing a lot of young kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And man. It's just, I don't know. I just.
Yeah, you're right, man. I've changed my stance on video games.
Yeah, man.
I've changed my stance on music, movies.
You know what's crazy? Because it's like, not to get too far, you know, on this, but I know somebody that's starting to rap now, and I went, I get it.
Yeah. That's the raps. But you present that to the world.
Yeah, and I go, but it's like, but if you've been around this person with the high school, with this, you go like, he's not like that. Mm-hmm. But you're rapping about, you know, guns, whatever, and it's going, it's like, that's just the new,
it's what people want to hear.
That's the music people want to hear.
And if you choose to do that and you are lucky enough to find success in that, the people that are listening to that are going to want to test you. Yeah. It's the nature of the beast, bro. If you tell people I'm the toughest guy in the world, I'm King Kong, I got two guns on me at all time and I got great aim.
Yeah.
The dudes who really live that life are going to want to see about that.
Yeah.
It's what happened to so many rappers. I can go, it's been a long list. The list has gotten so long in the last 5 years, it's tragic. But everybody that I can name on that list, I'm sure somebody went, oh, well, they were flaunting this on Instagram and talking about this. And you know what? Let me go see if they're really like that.
Yeah.
You know, are they really that tough, or can I get that from them? Because it's either me or them. And when you're talking about a person, because for every
who
person,
has nothing to lose.
That's what I'm saying. So for every person, listen, whoever your favorite rapper is, we're talking to, you know, a bunch of older people, but I'm just saying, I'm sure there's people listening to this that, you know, listen to these young rap kids. For whoever these people's favorite rapper are, they're singing somebody else's life. And that person's out there.
Yeah.
I promise you.
And they living.
Living that life currently. These people are poets. Understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoever your favorite rapper is, he puts rhymes. He puts words together beautifully. They are not out here really doing that kind of stuff. Except there's one person and he's not alive anymore.
Yeah.
And we won't even talk about that guy. He's from. Spoiler alert. He's from Chicago. But. Most rappers are just poets, and the stories that they're telling are other people's stories, and those people are out there. And if I hear that, oh, Chance the Rapper, that's not, but let's just say, I'm not laughing, I'm sure Chance the Rapper can fight and he's a nice guy. But let's just say somebody goes, oh, Chance the Rapper says he's the toughest guy in the world? Yeah. Well, I'm the toughest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Let me see if this guy really is like that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole world of people like that out there. And, you know, why invite that energy to you when you can just live a nice life and have fun.
It, man. It's not worth it.
So, you know, that was a bit of a rant on Ja Morant. More rant. There's something there. More rants. That was
a little bit of a Morant.
That was a little bit of a Morant. But we're going to move on from that and get into some shout outs. I also wanted to quickly speak on the Daniel Penny and Jordan Neely situation.
I
don't want to go too deep into it because it's, you know, it's still developing, but he has been charged with second degree murder.
Good.
I agree. Good. I also want to just say, without going too deep in anything, like I said, I want to move on. This is another example of people have now started to scapegoat mental health until it's really time to talk about mental health.
Yeah.
Jordan Neely's a ex-Marine. I mean, Daniel Penny is an ex-Marine. Jordan Neely, mom was tragically killed when he was 14 years old, beheaded or something, some brutal. And he's in the subways a lot. He was dancing on the train, panhandling on the train. And this is two people who were probably in a bad space in their life, or you know, Daniel Penny wanted to be a hero and relive his days of, you know, protecting his country, whatever it is. Two people who were failed by the mental health system ran into each other on a bad day, and now somebody's dead. And everybody wants to scapegoat mental health or say mental health is the reason for gun violence and then never do anything about it. And this is another example where we can really have a conversation about mental health and nobody's having it. It's turned into, I don't know if Jordan Penny's a racist dude. Daniel Penny's a racist dude. I don't know that to be the fact. What I do know is he choked a dude out on the train who was saying whatever he was saying. I don't really know what happened as far as what threats were being made or whatever, but I've been on a New York train station.
Yeah.
People say all kind of shit on the train and you just ignore it. It didn't need to get escalated to that level. And so I think that it's totally justified for him to have a trial and put him in front of a jury of his peers and see what happens. You know, do I think it's okay to choke people out until they die? Absolutely not. So if he gets convicted, I won't lose any sleep over it. But to put him through the process and put him in a jury full of his peers and see what they decide, when you put the evidence in front of them, that's all you can ask for.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's I don't know all the details of the whole story.
Yeah.
I just know that, you know, he had a, you know, what do you call it? An episode on the train.
Yes.
And it led to, you know, some type of altercation. I don't know the full details.
He put him in a rear naked choke.
Yeah.
And didn't let go until he died. Now, I'm not saying he choked him to death. That's what he did.
Yes.
But I'm not saying I don't know that he choked him to death as far as that's what he intended to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, choking somebody to, you know, you can tell when they're stopped. But maybe he couldn't because he was having an episode. Maybe he
probably
put him in a choke and he snapped and now he's back in Afghanistan or whatever.
PTSD could be. I mean, like, what it, was it, you know, was it, was he attacking? Was he like, you know.
From what I hear, and again, I don't want to get too deep into it. From what I hear, Jordan Neely started saying, like, he was tired of being broke.
Yeah.
And he wanted some money. And he started having an episode and was yelling on the train about getting money and I don't care, whatever. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about anything being done to anybody, him putting hands on anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. But some kind of altercation erupted and then Daniel Penny either was the person who was getting that or saw it happening, where Jordan Neely was in an altercation with somebody, and then he steps in and puts him in a chokehold. Now, if you watch the video,
there's a video. I didn't
there's
know
there's a video. I cut it off before it got too bad, but in the video, there's it's not just Daniel. Like, multiple people are like have restrained him. So there's people holding his arms down and stuff. But the thing is, Daniel Penny never let go. So now there's all this commotion, people holding him down, waiting for the, you know, transit cops to come or whatever. But Daniel Penny never lets go of his neck.
Manslaughter?
So it's manslaughter. Yeah. It is. Yeah, yeah. It's manslaughter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What you want to, the conversation that has become bigger is like, why did he step in? Da-da-da-da-da. A white guy. And now, you know, always goes that way.
Yeah, yeah.
White guy and a black. Like, and I don't know if the, I think that, can't speak for Daniel Penny.
Yeah.
But I think if anybody was freaking out on the train, this guy just, he has that in him. I think he would have jumped in and tried to choke anybody because he just wants to be involved and fucking get his hands in a situation and be a hero. And, you know, sometimes it's better to just mind your business. I don't know. Yeah. So
it's hard to say that when there's a black man involved.
It's always hard to say that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always hard to say that, especially when you you talk about mental health and, you know, he wasn't in the best space. And then for him to, instead of being getting the help that he needs, he's on a train panhandling, has an episode of some kind, and ends up being choked to death. So I don't, you know, I, it's one of those ones. It's like, I didn't really want to get too deep into it. We try to speak on current events, but this is a heavy podcast in general, and we try to walk away from it with our senses and our sanity intact, even with having tough discussions about the world. And to, before we do that, have to have these heavy discussions about the world as it is every week.
Yeah.
It's hard. So sometimes I'm like,
yeah,
I don't really want to dive into that this week.
Yeah. I still, it is important that we do it sometimes.
Though, I agree.
We need to, because other people can't have those conversations with.
I agree.
Which is the reason why we started this podcast. So I think agree. We should do it at times, but then it's, people got to understand that sometimes it's like,
it's not easy to have conversations.
It's not easy, but it's like,
there's a whole bunch of stuff in within right. this story that I'm choosing to not dive right. into because right. I don't feel like being sad.
Right, exactly. But it's like, yeah, you got so much other shit that we have to deal with. It's like, I just don't have the mental capacity.
Yeah, to I don't have that. The bandwidth to do that. And then we tell, and then we do a story. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. it's tough. But I understand that, you know, people look for that from us because you can't get it everywhere. Yeah. That, you know, and if you're listening to True Crime Podcast, I understand.
Hey, we do
that.
Our best.
We do what we can. So, again, rest in peace to Jordan Neely. I'm interested to see the outcome of the Daniel Penny trial. But yeah, that's all I really wanted to get into on it. We're going to do some Patreon shout outs and then we're going to take a quick break. That's right, folks. It's time for some shout outs. We're going to kick things off with a big shout out to one Kelly C. Shout out to you, Kelly C. Thanks for the love and the support over there with the brown K. That's a unique one. It's like Skims color, like a taupe. Up next, we got a shout out to Melissa S. Shout out to you. Thank you very much for the support. Hope you're enjoying the content over there. And, you know, keep doing your thing, Melissa. Up next, we got a big shout out to Ginger Girly 86. Shout out to Ginger Girly. Friend, you're a big fan of Ginger Ale.
I am.
Yeah. So, you know, but that's not what that's about.
Yeah. It's Ginger Ale.
Sorry? It's Ginger Ale.
Ginger Ale.
It's Ginger Ale.
And not Ginger Ale.
It's not a ginger rail. It's not a rail made of gingers.
Yeah.
Up next, we got a shout out to Giovanni.
Ooh.
Shout out
Ooh.
To Giovanni. It's Vitaliano seeming. Maybe hey, Italiano. Hey,
that, at one point, that could have been Max's name.
That was on the list?
Yeah, it was on the list.
A Giovanni.
Yeah, yeah.
It
was Giovanni.
Oh, Giovanni.
Giovanni.
Oh,
but Giovanni. Close.
Very close. Yeah. Both sound kind of Italian.
Yeah.
Up next, we got a shout out to Chantel. Yeah, uh-huh. Shout out to you. Up next, I love that breakdown, my man. Up next, we got a shout out to Jenna M. Shout out to Jenna. Shout out to you, Jenna. Much love and appreciation to you. Happy birthday. I'm sure your birthday's at some point this year. Up next, we got a shout out to Carol Ann. Go into the lot, Carol Ann. Carol Ann, shout out to you. Go into the lot, Carol Ann. Carol Ann K, shout out to you. Looks like they're doing a money spread.
What?
Oh, no. It's some kind of neon sign. I thought right. They had the money. I was like, oh, we got another John Moran on our hands. I thought she was spreading the money up her forearm. It's a sign. I don't know what it says, but shout out to you, Carol Ann. Huh?
It's like ones.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, yeah. Just a spread, a money spread from your shoulder to your palm of ones. Last
show
week.
Off.
Yeah, you show off, Carol Ann. Lastly, shout out to Jazzy J. Shout out to Jazzy J. Much love and appreciation to you. Hope you're doing well in the world. And happy birthday to you, too.
Yeah. Also, shout out to people that's joined the Patreon. But we got some stuff coming. We got the Discord set up. If you haven't joined the Discord, it's Affirmative Murder Pod.
Yeah, we're looking to have some real... tell them, friend. What do you do over there?
We just go in there. You just talk. If you want to recommend some stuff, you want to talk about some cases you're interested in.
A new, young, fresh, hip community.
Yeah, we can go and talk about that. We got some stuff lined up, I think. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about that. That should be super cool.
Like, yes. I'm excited.
Watch part... You know, I'm not going to get into
it. Don't spoil it.
Sorry,
don't
we got some stuff coming.
It's cooking. It's cooking
up. But that's going... If we get it set up the right way... That's going to be over Patreon members only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So join the Patreon.
So join the Patreon so you can get access and get the latest updates on the Discord situation and all the other stuff that's coming on Patreon. We're super excited and appreciative for everybody that supports, and we're looking to bring you guys some great content in the second half of the year for sure. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some fucked up shit. So stick around.
Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. But let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and, you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP. That's A, M as in Mother's Day. P at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's mylifeinabook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
All right, and we are back. Our affirmative murder this week is the story of Thomas and Meeks Griffin. Fran, I don't know about you, but in my researching of this, the way that this came to light and everything, there were so many elements of luck that, you know, if just a couple of things didn't happen, the world may never even have gotten the information about this story.
Yeah.
So it really is a... And it's also another story where, you know, because of the things we choose to focus on this podcast, sometimes it's just hard to get a comprehensive story or details about the events of some of these true crime stories when it comes to black and brown communities. You know, it's difficult. But this one fell somewhere in the middle. I feel like I got some good, some great details. I'm sure you did as well. And we're excited to tell you guys about the story of Thomas and Meeks Griffin. My sources for my research were Wiki, forjustice.org, and an article from NPR. Fran, what was your big focus on
where you got NPR you. It
was a good one.
Yeah.
Real comprehensive, yes. Good article from NPR for sure. But let's get into it. So Thomas and Meeks Griffin were brothers and prominent black farmers in the early 1900s in South Carolina. The two men were in their early 20s and among the more affluent and successful in their rural community. Some people say rural. But that doesn't really help either. It's a hard goddamn word. But they were doing well in their community.
Yes.
Especially for two black men. A fact that did not sit well with some of their white neighbors who resented successful black people. According to radio legend and descendant of the Griffin brothers, Tom Joyner, the duo owned about 130 acres of land.
Mm.
And he said that they were hardworking, outstanding community citizens with an outstanding record and reputation. And that coming from Tom Joyner, I don't know if, you know, listen, I don't know our full demographic, but Tom Joyner, for me, if you don't have a memory, I mean, I'm going to date myself, obviously, but if you don't have a memory of being in the backseat of your parents' car while being driven to school and just hearing like, oh, 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 Santa, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, it's the Tom Joyner morning show. It just is like, my mom loved Tom Joyner. He had cruises. I don't think she ever went on one, but he would do like the Tom Joyner cruise. He'd have like music acts and Tom Joyner's like he's a big deal.
I thought that was like 50 and over.
Probably, but my mom wasn't 50.
Yeah,
she was an early Joyner. You know what I'm saying? She was an early Joyner. You know, she was early on the Joyner train. She was early on the Joyner train for sure. She was ahead of her years for sure. She appreciated mature comedy and current events that were more geared to adults.
Now, was that on? That was national radio?
That was syndicated. Yeah, that was nationally syndicated for sure. Yeah. Tom Joyner's a legend, and these are his ancestors.
Yeah. There was. Like, I think this happened in what was this?
1913.
And just like looking up successful black people that were killed, I came across, I don't know if one of us did the story, but just I kind of want to go back over it. And this was in 1916 where Anthony P. Crawford, I don't know if you remember that name, but was killed by a white mob.
Sure.
Murdered, stabbed to death.
I mean, unfortunately, we've both done stories like this on the podcast.
Yeah. And was a black farmer who had tons of land, money.
Yeah.
And was just killed, and his estate wasn't divvied up or whatever, given to the next of kin. It was just like
a sale. Yeah.
Taken. If that.
Yeah.
Taken, and okay, well, the rest of y'all.
Occupy. Y'all get out of here, or we'll kill you.
And get out of here.
That was bureaucracy. That was capitalism in the early days after Reconstruction, after the Civil War. There were black people who became successful. And this is why I think the conversation around slave movies, it was a shorthanded conversation, because I think most people just kind of, a lot of black people, at least in the circles that I run in, came to this consensus of like, all right, man, let's see some different stuff.
Yeah.
But this is from the same time period.
Yes.
And I would love to hear a story about an affluent black family who overcame the difficulties of segregation and slavery and made a way. And then the reality of a jealous white person choosing to follow a narrative from a story that you disrespected somebody out in public, and then they choose to burn your whole house down, kill you, and then take your land.
Yeah.
Like, so many people's land and generational wealth was just stolen from them by people.
I mean, this dude Crawford was got into an argument about cotton, a price for cotton seed.
And he was killed.
And he had,
but it had nothing to do with cotton seed. It was black and having a car and having the idea, the notion that you could disrespect me and my white skin just because you have a couple of dollars.
Yeah. But that ruins. He was the patriarch of multi-generation, family.
He had a responsibility.
Exactly, having 400 some acres, and then you've been killed because over a immature, a childish argument, and then all that's just taken. And ruining generations after that. And you know, could it be totally different?
You know the fucked up part of it's all fucked up. But some of the most fucked up parts of that is that now today, so many people who are in their late 30s, early 40s, late 50s, however old, inherited that land. Yeah. And are now, that's just like a property where they go, oh, we do wedding venues. Like, we just rent it out to people and it's serving our family still to this day. And those are the same people that will go, hey man, I never did anything with slavery. You can't be mad at me for something I didn't have anything to do with.
Yeah.
Where there are families that are literally out there still profiting off of land that was stolen
and
through brutal murder.
Exactly. And you, it's kind of perfect what I was about to go into in my notes here was, there was a Washington Post article that I read yesterday that it was a quote that said, when they steal your land, they steal your future.
Yeah.
And I mean, like,
it's the only thing they're not making more of.
Exactly.
Can't make more land.
Exactly. And what happens is, you speaking on what you just, they said, it said that some land taken from black families became a country club in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
became oil fields in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And
so now it's oil in the fields. Now you done tapped into a whole new resource, yep, from the land.
And a baseball spring training facility in Florida. That this was on somebody's land that was stolen from them.
Mm-hmm.
And it said there was a statistic that 406 black landowners lost more than 24,000 acres of farm and timberland, plus 85 small properties, including stores and city lots.
Yeah.
Not much. It's,
bro, Abercrombie.
That's insane.
Man. Abercrombie and Fitch was one store owned by an old man who sold fishing equipment. So imagine how many black businesses who were like apothecary stores or made really cool shoes. Somebody invests in them and they become the next Prada. You know, they license their business and they like what they do. The people, I mean, they got screwed, but the guy that bought McDonald's.
Yeah.
That was just some family in fucking Wisconsin or something. The guy was like, I like your little burgers. I got a bigger idea. And I'm about to fuck you guys hard.
Wild.
With no Vaseline. It's about to get, I'm gonna fuck you guys crazy and make trillions of dollars, and you guys are gonna get nothing except what I give you. But my point is, when you have land and you have businesses, you have opportunity.
Yeah.
And when you steal those things from people, you take away their future. Where, like you said, I mean, like,
where's tens of millions of dollars today and are owned by white people or corporations.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's crazy how you look at this, you see that and you go, how things could have been.
Yeah. How many people's lives could have been completely different. And so the idea that, and that's why that argument is a fallacy to pull your bootstraps up and these things, or I never owned slaves. It's like, no, but there are people, your family, there are families, hundreds of families in America today still actively benefiting from things that were stolen or gained, ill-gotten gains through slavery, through murder and stealing of people's property.
Yeah.
And then, you know, reaping the benefits from it for generations and passing it down.
Exactly. It's hard for black people to try to catch up if white people already had it.
And it's hard for black people to let it go.
I guess so, yeah.
It's like, bro, here's one thing. I feel like this is generational, but you got to think about it in the terms of, you know, people who've been oppressed. Like, there are people who, any race, you go, oh, my grandmother hated this person or hated this thing or whatever. And hate can be passed down.
For sure.
You can hate a food. You can hate this. Well, if your grandmother's land was stolen, that anger of that is going to be passed down. That story is going to be told for generations. Yep. And the poorer you guys get when you guys never get opportunity and you're just telling stories all around a dumpster, a trash can fire, because you guys are destitute because you guys, the opportunities were stolen from you. And you go, man, my great, great grandmother used to own this whole block. And she did.
Yeah.
And then you see some white dude in the business suit walking around talking about gentrifying the neighborhood. You go, my family owned this block and it was burned down and stolen from us.
Yep.
And you want to just go, hey, move on. You didn't own it. What could have been if we could have?
Exactly.
Maybe I wouldn't have lead paint poisoning.
Yeah, man.
You know,
it's just it's just crazy to think about how many lives would be different. Even, you know, it could have been one of ours. You never know. But I mean, just like how these black cities were, what do you call it? The black.
Black Wall Street.
Black Wall Street. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's crazy, man, how these people were flourishing and at a disadvantage because you're black in that time,
mm-hmm.
but being able to like
overcome,
have businesses and make all this money and then like still this target on your back still. That's tough. That's a tough time, man.
Real tough time. And this story is another example of it. So let's get into it. Let's get real depressed, huh? So, like I said, Tom Joyner ended up doing a show called African American Lives 2, where he was approached by Dr. Henry Louis Gates, who did a tracing of his genealogy,
yeah,
and where he uncovered the story of the Griffin brothers and told it to Tom Joyner on the show and blew his mind. Where he's like, you know, your uncle, your great uncles were unjustifiably killed, yeah, based on a lie,
yeah,
which is a big thing to learn.
Not just killed, they were executed.
Yeah, they were executed yes, by the state government for a crime they didn't commit, yeah, and that's a heavy thing to learn on television. That's why I'm scared to do one of those things. But, you know, I hear stories like this, and sometimes you want to know.
Oh, you mean like a...
Tracing back your genealogy and your roots and things like that.
And they have that at the African American Museum.
They do.
You can book a class to do that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man, yep. I got to get in there. So in 1913, 73-year-old Confederate Army veteran John Lewis was murdered by gunshot in his South Carolina home. There were rumors. Now, this gets tricky, and I have my own speculations, which I will get into. I don't mind, but it's only speculation. But there were rumors of some sort of affair between Lewis and 22-year-old Anna Davis, who was a black woman who was married and employed by Lewis. Now, the reason I'm talking about what I'm going to speculate about is a 73-year-old former Confederate Army soldier, general, whatever, and a 22-year-old black woman. I feel like it's less likely that he was in the middle of some kind of Nicholas Sparks movie romance affair. Mm-hmm. And it's more likely that he was probably being an inappropriate person who was sexually harassing a black woman because he felt like he could do whatever he wanted with her body.
Yeah, of course.
So the idea that they're saying like affair as if they were having this sweet kind of... No, I think she worked for him and didn't want to lose her job. And when he would grab her ass or do whatever, maybe hopefully not worse. But my point is 73 years old, 22 years old. He was in the Confederacy. I feel like he probably was more likely being inappropriate, borderline dangerous, or something like that. And then that gives motive either way. Yeah. Affair that's consensual or a guy being inappropriate and making a woman have to choose between eating and having a job and not being harassed and humiliated. That's motive for a husband either way.
Yeah.
Whether you're having a consensual affair with my wife or you're fucking grabbing her and shit at her job when she's just trying to do her job,
yeah,
the husband probably should be a strong suspect, mm-hmm, when this guy comes up dead. That's not what happened. What ended up happening is police did not turn to the husband as a suspect at all in John Lewis's murder. It was, in fact, the two wealthy brothers who happened to live just down the street from Lewis who became the primary suspects after a half-assed tip from a hater. This is crazy. So there's this other black dude named John Stevenson. He was a local criminal, just, you know, petty thefts or whatever, and he was suspected of the murder. He got brought in,
mm-hmm,
and he just accused the brothers of killing John Lewis. He just threw it on them. And he later would recant his confession and explain that he thought that because these dudes had so much money,
mm-hmm,
that they would be able to just afford a lawyer and beat the rap. Even though they are black and completely despised by all the white people in the area because for having that money, and a white man turned up dead. This dude thought, well, they have enough money that they're not black.
Yeah.
And that's crazy for another black man to think that in 1913.
I get it, though.
Well, they probably were balling out of control.
That all could be like, well... What I got out of that was he blamed them because like, okay, they have money to get an attorney.
They can work the system.
They can work and they'll get off. I won't because I don't have the money
to get representation or anything like that.
Or to get lesser time, whatever it is. He was like,
what he didn't factor into that was I don't care how much money you have. A white man is dead.
Yes.
So I don't care. You can get the best lawyer and you could have enough money to make a time machine get built, yeah, put Johnny Cochran in the time machine, fly, you know, transport him back to 1913, and I don't care what kind of rhyme he came up with. You're dying.
But do you blame him though?
Yeah. Because that's some hater shit.
That's some hater shit, but
just
I mean,
just say you didn't want to get in trouble. The part where he's like, they got money, that's the hater.
Yeah, I get that.
They got money and that's why they came to mind first. He's like, I'm going to throw this on some people that I'm jealous of. The fact that money, that how much money they have came to his mind. It's just, that's how I feel.
Okay.
Because he could have thrown it on anybody. He threw it on two other people. And I don't know how much money they had. They didn't have Griffin Brothers money.
But you don't have beating a murder for a white person money.
No.
That's not happening.
The Griffins would be offended.
How much money you had.
If they were flies on the wall,
yeah,
they would be offended at that guy thinking they had that kind of money. They're like, we're doing all right. I mean, you know, the bills are paid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You think we can get off while killing a white man?
Yeah.
In 1913? What do you think? We invented the car?
I don't know, man. I just think that he went, I'm gonna die. I'm not beating this. somebody they have
a I got to throw somebody under the bus. Let me try to throw somebody that I think that has a chance.
That has a chance.
I guess that's really making it out like he's a nice guy, and I think he's a hater. That's just my
personal opinion. I think that plays a part, but I don't know. I don't know, man.
We'll never know. But I, you know, no matter, despite what you say, I've gifted him the hater of the century award.
I'm not saying that doesn't play a part.
I think he's the hater of the century. John Stevenson was an early suspect in the murder, and he later told several people that the Griffin brothers and two other men that he accused with them were innocent and that he had named them to save himself. So he did name them to save himself, but he also thought of them because he's like, they're always riding around here on special bikes with their names engraved on them, and you know, all the women are always talking about them and stuff.
Who else does he put it on though? You can't put it on another white man. You can't see another white man.
There's no other black people. Listen, if you're gonna throw it on somebody, why did they come to mind? Why were they so in your mind? Because you're always thinking about them, hating on them.
I don't think so. I'm not.
Nobody thinks about you more than the hater.
I get that. That's true. But I don't think the hater. I don't think
you're in the worst, scariest moment of your life. They're talking about putting a murder on you. You think of those two?
I don't think he's being hated, bro.
That's just how I feel.
I don't think he's being.
Yo no sé. Hey, yo no sé. Yo no sé. The brothers were indicted on July 7th of 1913, and their trial was scheduled to begin 2 days after that. With only a day to prepare, their defense attorney, W.H. Newbold, made a motion for a continuance. Newbold's motion was denied. Guess why? You know, I mean, I you have to guess why. I don't have the facts, but I'm just saying, two black dudes, white man is dead. You're not getting any of the things you're asking for, and they have enough money to pay a lawyer that's good and all this stuff already. They're filing motions. That guy was somewhere like, see, my lawyer wouldn't have filed nothing.
No, but why was it such a short time for them to prepare?
Stacking the deck against them. Yeah, exactly. Like, no, we're not giving you enough time to use your resources.
That's fucked up.
We're gonna take your resources away from you by making it a speedy trial. You don't get time and your resources. But anyway, yeah. So they filed a motion for a continuance, which is just to get more time. They were like, no, you don't get more time. This is happening now. So that was denied. And when the men appealed their convictions with the South Carolina Supreme Court, because they have the kind of money to take this shit to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled the denial of the continuance was insignificant. So they were given a continuance after they took it up to the Supreme Court.
Man, no appeals, man. They took that paper and was balling up.
Yeah.
What?
And they had to go show it to some other people that go, well, we're the Supreme Court, so we can't be as blatantly racist. So you guys don't have a good enough reason to deny their continuance, so we have to give it
to them.
Took
that throw up over their shoulder.
Yeah, they didn't deny his continuance on any kind of reason other than like, we don't want to. Fuck you. And a bunch of other racist things that were probably said. So his continuance was granted, and then his team petitioned the South Carolina governor at the time, Richard Manning, for a pardon hearing. So their team was getting busy. They were filing all the right paperwork.
Hey, he was right, man. He went.
He wouldn't have got that guy, Stevenson.
This would have been over.
He wouldn't have got any of that. He'd have been electrocuted in the chair.
He'd have been done.
The next day, you know?
Guilty.
Yeah, they extended this out a couple months at least. That's how much, you know something? That's affluence.
Fighting.
Black affluence. You got a white murder on your chest and you extended it a few months?
I would assume he had a black attorney, right?
Well, I don't know. Maybe having a white, that's a sign of wealth too. You had a white
Johnny
attorney?
Cochran in 1915, whatever.
Oh, man. I got to take that back because you dropped Johnny Cochran in 1913. They're not listening to him. I don't care how good he is.
I don't know, man. You don't think so? You don't think so?
They're like, Eddie's rapping? Get him out of here.
He's rapping.
He's like, murder? Never heard of him. He's like, get him out of here, him and his rippity raps.
That's made him great.
Yeah. Shout out to Cochran. they reached out to the governor to get a pardon hearing, and more than 120 people signed a petition supporting the pardon, including some white residents of Chester County, also a former sheriff and two trial jurors and the grand jury foreman. Governor Manning granted the defendants a temporary reprieve, but eventually denied the pardon petition, and they were convicted of murder on Stevenson's testimony and the flimsiest circumstantial evidence possible. Those are the only two things.
None. They didn't have any.
Exactly. So this hater, as bad as he said he felt, came back around, took the stand, and told the story again.
Yeah.
Hater. They were executed by electric chair on the same day in September of 1915. So they both died on the same day. I don't know if they went one at a time or what, but that's really cold-blooded if they did it that way. You like know your brother's dead, then they put you in the same chair. That's heavy.
Man.
So Tom Joyner shared this story of his grand uncles with his millions of listeners in 2009. And following a campaign coordinated by the radio host, the conviction was overturned and the Griffin brothers were pardoned. Posthumously, of course. Legal scholars agreed that there was nothing in the way of evidence linking the brothers to the crime for which they were convicted and executed for. And who murdered John Lewis became a subject of speculation a century after the crime occurred, because nobody really cared who did it. They know who they tried to pin it. They know who they wanted to pin it on.
Yeah, they know who did it. But 130 acres of land
taken, seized,
gone,
seized, and who knows what has been what's being done with it now. I hope Tom Joyner. This was 2009, so
did
I,
they have records of that? You probably don't, right?
Probably don't, because that's the thing. You go down to the court building,
just throw them out,
and throw them out, scratch their name out, and put my name on there. Shit. And now as far back as you can trace it, it always belonged to whoever stole it. But if I'm Tom Joyner, I know Tom Joyner has the kind of money. I'm finding out where that 130 acres landed. I'm getting some of it back.
Some. Because yeah, I'm sure they got it for pennies.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So many believe that it was the success of the brothers that led to their downfall, unfortunately. As we've been talking about throughout the episode, some black landowners in the early 20th century never had the benefit of a legal process. Nope. Not even the sorry excuse for due process experienced by the Griffin brothers. And they had the money to get what they got, and that wasn't much of anything. They were still railroaded by the system, and they spent money to get that railroading. So, but that the experience for a lot of black landowners was a lot worse than theirs. They were just lynched to get them out of the way so that the property could be taken by whites. This is what the Griffins went through, as well as many. There's many other stories, as we touched on a couple, of this happening. In American history. This is American history. This is something that happened, you know. Tom Joyner said in an interview after exonerating his family members that racism is still alive and we can't move forward until we close the past. We have to bring closure first, and I think that it's important as a family, as a race, as a country, to bring closure so we can move forward to repairing the damage that racism has brought on all of us.
Now, do you think...
I thought that was brilliant.
Yes, that was beautiful. Do you think them being pardoned was worth it?
Worth what?
Just... Because, I mean, like, you think about this stuff and you go... Because this happened with, like, a beach in California somewhere. Mm-hmm, it's like
they got
the land back.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that was, you know, that was a different outcome. But, I mean, like, them being pardoned, I mean, you clear their name? I mean, yeah. But I'm like... But that was it's so long ago.
Oh, I mean, it's closure, like Tom Joyner said.
He didn't even know.
That's the thing. If Tom Joyner doesn't decide to take one of the opportunities that came to him from being Tom Joyner to do a TV show, he would have never known that these were his great uncles. And this story we wouldn't be telling the story.
Right.
It would have just been lost to time.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's good. Because we learned about the Griffin brothers, and then in turn in us learning about it, they also were able to galvanize enough people through the power of their descendant, Tom Joyner, to clear their name legally.
Yeah, but do you think, other than him being Tom Joyner, who has resources that a normal average person wouldn't have, do you think that it's worth trying to clear, you know?
Yeah, I think, I'm sure it's a hard work, but... Clearing somebody's name is important. I believe that. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
If you are on the books as a convicted murderer and rapist and were executed, and your family has to wear that or know that the world, whenever they look you up and they come across this ancestor of yours, they see it that way, and you know that the story that you've been told is that he was wrongfully convicted, then being able to change the view of your family members, I think that's important. Because all that's left of you is your name when you die.
Yeah.
And if your name has mud on it, then that's not okay. I don't think people can rest properly like that. I mean, I couldn't imagine dying with the world seeing me a way that I know isn't true. And then I can never do anything about it because I'm dead.
Well.
So if you believe in the afterlife.
You die in 1915, people don't. It's only but like two generations after you.
That sure,
like,
but then we again, you can just your name can just be brought back up. Your name could just be spoken again one time on a TV show with Tom Joyner, and now millions of people know your name. It's this that somebody comes across your name in a book, and if the story grabs the right person, they tell it, and if they tell it, oh, these two dudes killed this white man, whatever. Now that's what your reputation is once again after 100 years. So much history is lost through violence and other means in this country that, you know, Native American people will never know huge chunks of like their rituals and their culture because it was like burned and destroyed
and slaves.
With intention and slaves.
Yeah.
Think black people came here worship Jesus Christ? Some white man on the cross? No, they had a whole religion and African gods and it was destroyed.
Yeah.
It was beaten out of them. And now you believe what we believe. So it's all kind of stuff that we'll never know why these... How these great uncles, Tom Joyner, didn't know about them until he did this show. And it's all kind of reasons.
Could have been forgotten on purpose.
Trauma. Been forgotten on purpose. Like, people just like, it was too sad. We didn't. Yeah. We never went back. We left that part of South Carolina. They ran us out of there. We tried to get the land back. And they said, if we come back and try to fight it, they'll kill us. We don't know the ins and outs of the days after they had to be buried. And who came to claim the bodies and claim the land. Maybe somebody did come to claim the land. And they go, hey, listen, the land's going to be up for auction tomorrow. If you come to
auction.
Yeah, I don't know. little Boston slipped out. Little Boston slipped out. Listen, the land's going up for auction tomorrow. You come to the auction, we're going to kill you. It could have been that simple. Yeah. You know, like we never know. So absolutely tragic. Rest in peace to Thomas and Meeks Griffin. Just a sad story about, you know, two people doing the right things, building wealth, and just, in my opinion, the haters going to hate.
I don't think
maybe not specifically that guy, but they had haters, and haters ended up being their downfall.
You think the black? Well, yeah, okay, all right, you got me on that, but I don't think that played a huge. I just think that he was like, I'm not going to beat this. These two dudes down the street have a better chance of beating this. Let me throw it on them. I don't have anything. I'm throwing it on them too. I don't have anything. That's what I'm saying. That's my question. Do you blame him for doing that?
Yeah.
I do.
I'm throwing it on them too. Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's fucked up, but I'm going like, man.
They'll electrocute me in the morning.
Yeah.
With the lawyer I can afford.
I'm not going to make it at all.
My cousin Boo Boo.
Then if they find out that it's my wife or whatever. Oh, he's toast.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to throw it on them. They had a better chance of beating it than me. And I'm gonna go and live my life.
And I'm gonna come back when I get the summons to come to court. When I get the subpoena, I'll be there.
Man. I don't think it had nothing to do with hate. He's like, I'm gonna throw it on them. I'm gonna throw them down the street. They won't ride around.
They got money. They wanna see what? What? Go ahead, finish your sentence.
They wanna ride around and they goddamn what was the first car?
The Model T.
The Model T.
They got two Model Ts.
They got two Model Ts.
That's hate. That's hate.
That's not hate. That's just hate. They got it.
That's hate.
No, they got it as hate.
They got it. No, they got it as hate. You never heard nobody say that and it wasn't hate.
Go ahead
and buy lunch, man. You got it. No, that means you want me to buy food and you got enough money to buy food?
No, you got it.
You pay. No, you got it as hate. It's low key hate, but it's hate. But they riding around with Model Ts, if that's how you were carrying it, if you were the guy, that's hate. So that's hate. And you know that's what he was saying when he threw him under the bus. He was like, they got a suit for every day of the week. Well, they can wear one to court. Hey, man. Listen, hey, friend, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for all the Patreon stuff we got coming out during the Patreon.
Sure.
That's what I'm thankful for. I do have a recommendation. I've been watching HBO Max.
Yes.
Damn it. Gemstones.
Oh, the Righteous Gemstones?
Righteous Gemstones.
Fucking Kenny Powers, man.
I started watching that. Man.
Yeah. Danny McBride is
it's funny as
hilarious.
Hell, man.
I watched the first couple episodes.
Adam Devine. I'm a big fan of Adam Devine.
John Goodman's in it, right?
I don't know who that is.
The dad from Roseanne?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I know how to get
that's
you.
His name?
I know how to get you. Yeah, John. Oh, my God. That's crazy, bro. that's so crazy that you even.
I know him from the dad from Roseanne. That is it. If you'd have said that, he's in it. Absolutely.
It's crazy to me that the follow-up to the dad from Roseanne is like, that's his name? Not you just forgot it and you know John Goodman, the beloved actor. You're like, oh, his name's John Goodman, the dad from Roseanne.
I didn't know his name.
His name's not Dan Connor?
No.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
his name is not Rick Gemstone. Whatever. Yeah, his name is Joe.
Wait, you mean that's a documentary about the Righteous Gemstones, a church owning family? I thought that was a documentary. Me personally, I'm thankful for family. I hear stories like this, and I'm just thankful for, you know, a lot of times you take it, you take for granted when you grow up, and you know, you go over to your favorite aunt's house or whatever, and you play around, cookouts and stuff like that, and then you get older and you realize like that stuff doesn't stick around.
No,
so it's nice.
I haven't been to a family cookout in
because it's on you now. That's the thing. That's how it gets. That's the part that a lot of, I think our generation, and I guess it probably happens every generation, but I think ours in the social media generation, when you can feel everybody's nostalgia, like everybody's on the same page, like, damn, nobody does family cookouts with water balloons anymore. It's like, guess because it's on you now.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just don't want nobody to be by my
house. I live in a condo, and I don't like cleaning up after people.
No.
But I can still be sad that it's not happening.
Yeah.
And not want it to be me doing it.
I don't want anybody else's badass kids running around my house.
No, no, no. But if you fire up the grill, I'll be there.
Absolutely.
So that's my point. I'm thankful for family and the memories that I have, and I hope to have more of them, but it won't be at my house.
It won't. Hey, but I can't say my wife, their family has, you know, a gathering for everything.
Yeah. And that's always nice.
And it's always nice. It's nice that, you know, well, from my perspective, that and my experience, that Latinos, they really stick together and like have, you know,
keep that going,
keep it going. Whoever it is, you know, Steph is, she's one of those. I think, you know, when, you know, the aunts and, you know, the parents get older, I think she's one of those.
Take
ones
those
like,
reins.
Yeah,
somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to, but you know, she got to ask me, and it's like, if I give it a go ahead, I'll go, okay, cool.
No. She's gotta ask me.
Let's go to the park.
Okay, man.
You know that's not how I go. But you know,
she's gotta get my permit. Okay, man. Sure,
it gotta go through me. I'm the man of the house.
I gotta sign off on the paperwork.
Yeah, I don't want people running around here throwing water balloons and get my carpet wet. I don't want that. Nah, but I get what you're saying. I do miss those hanging with cousins. I don't even know half of my cousins now.
Yeah, everybody. Well,
what are they doing?
Yeah.
I'm sure they cool though.
I hope so. But, you know, still thankful for family and those memories. So that's always nice to just reminisce and have nostalgic moments. But, what we're going to do is we're going to get up out of here, folks. I've been Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans. We'll see you guys next week.
Deuces.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.